Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John concludes a series entitled, Stop Living in the Past. When you come out of the past, bearing fruit should be the sign that you are living in the present and looking toward the future. This fruit is not something you produce in your own power, but happens automatically when you walk with the Lord in faith and obedience, and this in turn gives birth to good works. But what can you do to prepare yourself? It begins by looking for a harvest and dying to self, which is a lifelong process that allows much fruit to manifest in your life. This message will make you think about where you are spiritually and encourage you to draw closer to God. God is looking for a harvest, and it is His sincere desire for you to be fruitful. This message is entitled Part 6, Bearing Fruit. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on May 2nd, 2010. And this is the last installment I have in this series called Stop Living in the Past. And today we're going to be talking about bearing fruit. And I hope this will be an exciting message for you. So let's stand and let's pray over the Word of God. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now for the moments that we have here that we can study your word. And I pray, Father God, that as I've done 5 messages on how to get out of the past, that Lord, today will be a final step that Father God will bring people totally out and into total victory. And this I ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated. The first scripture I'm going to be using is from Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Let me read my opening statement here. When a believer in Christ comes out of the past, there should be a sign that confirms that he has been defeated. And the person is now living in the present and looking toward the future. That sign is fruit. When there is much fruit in your life, it means that you've been able to break free from the past. And the Bible mentions 3 kinds of fruit. And we will take a look at it. The first kind of fruit is produced in the flesh with the procreation of children. Genesis 1, 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. The second kind of fruit is in the spiritual realm. You find it in Galatians chapter 5. That's Galatians. And that will be the 5th chapter. And you pick it up in verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, we have read those scriptures many times, but I really want us to read them slow, and I want you to take a look at it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. As I spoke before about getting out of the spiritual wheelchair, I spoke about being offended. When we are offended, it is hard for us to have fruit growing in our lives. If we are in a spiritual wheelchair and we are crippled, it is very hard for us to have fruit in our lives. So we really need to start thinking, how can I have much fruit? Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. That's Ephesians, the second chapter, and verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus with good works, which God before ordained, that we should walk in them. Fruit leads to good works. There are some people before you are saved that are good people, if I can use that term. And God has, even in unbelievers, put in love and caring. When we get saved, that is enlarged and become larger. And I read in there for my outline. Begetting children does not require any spiritual skills, since humans have a sexual drive that might result in a pregnancy of women. People try to manage the birth of children either through some kind of birth control or by killing the unborn child. As Art Linkletter stated many years ago, even cockroaches multiply, but to love and raise a child requires love, caring, and patience. And to those of you that are younger, you don't know who Linkletter was, but he was a man, he was a saved person, and similar to like Paul Harvey. And he tried to produce good things and bring out Christianity. Linkletter was adopted and never knew his biological parents. Turn to Proverbs 22:6. That's Proverbs 22:6. To those of you that are older, you remember that Art Linkletter back in the 60s had a daughter that somebody got her to take LSD. And she became totally distraught, was in some kind of a high-rise building in Los Angeles, and jumped out and killed herself. And it broke their heart. And after that, he and his wife became an ardent fighter against drugs. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. You that are parents, if you train up a child in the fear of God with love and caring, that child will not depart. There might be some rebellion at times, but eventually that child will return to the faith that you put into that child. How can you not prepare to be fruitful? Well, in Philippians chapter 2, that's still in the book of Philippians, and we turn to chapter 2. And I'm going to read my statement here. God has not designed the believer in Christ to automatically be fruitful, but has given them the ability to be fruitful if they act accordingly. Philippians 2, 12 through 16. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In verse 12 now, we are told to work out our salvation. There's a difference here. You are not working to be saved. You're working out your salvation. Let me try to illustrate that for you. Take a young man and a young woman, and they decide to get married. Now, how many times do you have to get married before it takes? It should be one time. It should be the man asking the woman, not the other way around. So now, here's a man. He's asking this woman, will you be my wife? And she says, yes. They then proceed to have the marriage in the church before some kind of official, get it registered. After the wedding, after the reception, after everything has been done, this couple of nuts says, okay, that was it. Now you got to go home with a bride. And the bride has to go home with the man. And now you got to work out the marriage. And you know there's a lot of chuckles, because you know when you got two people, when you date, I mean, you always show your best foot forward, right? Always get cleaned up, stuff under the arms, you know, you smell good and this and that, you know. And then, but after you're married, suddenly you realize, this person is just like me. With problems. And what do you do now? You work it out. Now, some couples work it out this way. And some couple work it out with their mouth. And some couple work it out on their knees, praying. Next year, my wife and I have been married for 50 years. 50. Now, I can tell you this. The last 40 years were sure better than the first 10. Until we had worked out our relationship, we got to know each other, respect each other, love each other, and learn not to push the wrong buttons. You know how we do that. Boom. And I can say this, it has been a joy to have had the same woman for 50 years. And I'm looking forward to some more years. But that is working out your marriage. Let's read this again in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. My wife and I, we had a good start. My parents were married until they died. Her parents never divorced. They stayed together until God separated them. And so we are coming from a background of stability. Today, marriage is like you go out and buy a car. If you don't like it, trade it in. Get a newer model. But when you get married, you simply say, this is for keeps. This is not a game. We're going to work this out. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The beautiful thing is now, God will be with you as you work out your salvation. As you work out your marriage, God will be with you. What's the number one key in marriage to be successful? Respect. Respect is a key. If a man respects his wife and a wife respects the husband, they're going to be able to work it out very well. The same thing in our salvation. You got to learn to respect God. If God said it, you believe it, you do it. You don't say, well, God, you know, I know you're God, you're the creator, you did all these different things, but you know what, God? Take a hike. This is my way. It doesn't work. And then look at verse number 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Now, is that how you get fruit? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. You clean out the kitchen. Do a few things. And you go, you know, I hate this stuff. You know, I hope she sees that I'm putting some effort into this. That's called murmuring. And many times we say, God, I've been to church, I'm doing all these different things, and God, you know, why don't you come through? I need this now. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among you whom you shine as lights in the world. So we can be blameless, harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now, all of us got kind of dressed up here this morning, coming to church. I'm sure you took a shower before you came. You combed your hair and all that good stuff. And we are on our best behavior. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God, you know. But how do you live Monday morning? Tuesday, Wednesday. How do people see you outside the church? Do they see you as a cheat? Do they see you as someone, you know, that just go to church and you're cussing as good as everybody else? Or do they see that you are persistent? To be persistent, we are working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Now, if you would meet me, let's say, for example, that you go someplace and go shopping or whatever it is, mall, and suddenly you see me and Ina there, and we're drunker than skunks, just coming out of a bar, you know, we're just happy, and I go, fly, you know, and he says, oh, Pastor, what are you doing here? Oh, well, you know, we just had too much. Now, the next Sunday, when I open up the Word of God, how would you respect me? You wouldn't. you would say you're a hypocrite. You're not living what you're preaching. You don't have to get drunk or take drugs. But you know, we should be kind, loving, caring, not criticizing, building people up daily, weekly around us. Holding forth the word of life, that I might rejoice in the day of Christ, that I not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and I'll be offered upon a sacrifice and served on your faith. I joy and rejoice for you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice for me. I want you to think this week on working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Begin to think, how am I treating other people? What's my attitude? Now, I want to tell you a nice little story that happened to my wife and me Friday. Friday's our day off. So we decided we're going to take a nice walk in a forest. And so I said, we had eaten before. I'll bring some oranges. And we can sit down after being walking for an hour or so and have a nice orange. So we got to the place, got our shoes on, took off, and I picked up the bag. And I started walking with a bag. And I walked for about 35, 40 minutes. Changed this hand, that hand, It's uncomfortable. So we got to the place, looked at the lake, beautiful, everything there. And I said, now we're going to have an orange. I opened up the bag and I realized I was carrying flowers with me. My wife had been shopping before and she bought about 4 pounds or 5 pounds of flowers. And I looked upon that. First I thought it was flaxseed. They also bought that. So I looked upon that and I said, well, now you see, this is where you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I had thought about an orange. I tasted the orange. I was ready for it. And here I got, flour, white flour. It was not bleached, it was good stuff. But even so, you kind of get gummy when you sit and eat it. That's how it tastes. That's what I realized. I did not get angry. I simply said, oh, well, we have it some other day. I just carry this stuff back to the car. Now, walking around in the forest and so on, there's a lot of mountain bikers in this area. And I saw two men with our bikes. They looked like cops, but I don't think they were. And we had to walk between them. And here I am, looking a little rugged in my hair, stuff like this, I didn't get my oranges. And the guy simply says, now what do you got in your bag? I said, you won't believe this. I said, I'm carrying flaxseed. That's what I thought I had. I realized I had flowers later. And I told them, we're going to have oranges. And they laughed their heads off. And I said, so then I had, one of the guys had a wooden cross on him. So I said, you're a Christian. Yeah. He said, are you? I said, praise God, yes. I asked him, what brand are you? Well, he went to Bayside. So that's when I stopped asking him more questions. But anyway, my wife said, well, we got a website. So here now, it's a preacher, bag in one hand, puts it down, get my wallet out, get a card out, and said, here is our website, you can go and look. I'm sure the guy thought, crazy guy like this walking around, he looked like he was carrying drugs. He's going to look at a website. That was a divine appointment. But you see now, if I would have been bent out of shape, and I would have said, stupid this, you know, blah, blah, blah. We'd be walking like this, little girl. And these guys would not even wanted to talk to us. You know why I picked up the wrong bag? Because the oranges had fallen out of the bag and rolled under my seat. Couldn't see them. But I had one the next day. Now, these are everyday experiences. When you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. When you come out to your car, you turn the key, nothing. Well, that's a praise the Lord. I need a new battery. I need it charged. Whatever it is, this is how we prepare ourselves. I'm sure that these two guys, you know, thought, you know, we look kind of probably not too excited, but, you know, we were not, you know, angry. And we laughed with them. And so, at least, we had a good testimony. And this is what you want to have all the time. Now, turn me to John chapter 15. So, here's a story now, what you want to learn from this. If you're going to have oranges with you, make sure that you tie the bag so they don't roll out. And you will have them. A branch on a tree cannot bear fruit unless it is connected to the trunk of the tree. Jesus stressed that we are to abide in him or there will be no fruit. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean for the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bring forth my fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So when you wake up on a Monday morning, you should wake up and say, well, praise God, thank you, Jesus, I'm waking up. It's a good day. Every day is a good day. It's a matter of attitude that you and I have. But every day is a good day. If you simply don't have an attitude, you're going to have a bad day. Whatever happens, praise the Lord. He is in control. Now, if you walk in him and abide in him, then you are going to have a lot of fruit. If a man abideth in me, he is cast forth of the branch, is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. How many churches have you been to where there was a whole bunch of branches draped over chairs, dried up, hard, no fruit on them? And you looked upon them and you simply said, well, this place is dead. A church is as alive as its members. If you are abiding in him, this is a lively church. That's what I want you to think about. You're sitting here, now, most of you know each other, but we have some visitors and some people don't know them much. But have you realized this? That this is a crowd you're going to spend the rest of eternity with. Hello? Are you enjoying one another? When you came in, did you say hi to somebody? Glad to be here. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. We need to recognize that we need to put faith to our faith. Turn up to Ephesians chapter 6. That's Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Now, there's all kind of mishaps that can happen to you and me. Some of the stuff we actually know we cause ourselves. I've been pretty ill this week, and I caused it myself. I decided around Monday that I had a specific tooth that I really need to do some flossing on. And I did vigorously flossing, not realizing I was cutting deep into my gum. So after they stopped bleeding and stuff, I realized, I don't have anything left here. I just cut too much. So I prayed over it. Then I got an infection. So, what do you do? I caused it myself. Couldn't blame anyone else. My own stupidity. So I decided, I'm going to have a good week. Regardless circumstances. This is how you had a victory. You have a good week, a good day, regardless circumstances. In Ephesians chapter 6, we pick it up in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I had to put on the whole armor of God this week. I was like an old man that lost his teeth. I could not chew on that side. And when I chewed on this side, I had to go down so easy because I was so hurt on the other side. And I just sat there, praise the Lord. You praise God regardless what's happening. Now I knew this. In time, God would heal me. I flushed my mouth with hydrogen peroxide, 35%. Cayenne pepper, all kind of other things. And today I'm just about healed up. But you see, the devil said, are you going to have a good or a bad week? I had a good week. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day and having done all to stand. There should be no circumstances. You're always going to have somebody to come up and criticize you. They're getting paid for that, by the way. Someone is always going to come up and try to take your joy away. Guaranteed. And God is simply saying, I want to teach you to live above circumstances. You just live above it. You simply say, well, I don't care. I'm going to have victory. I'm going to have a good day anyway. Stand there for having your loins girded about with truth, having on a breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking a shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, picture an American soldier. He's gone through basic training. He's gone through weapon training. He's done all this special stuff, and now he's out in the field. And he wakes up in the morning, and he's told, okay, we're going to get into combat today, so you're going to have to fight today. And then he gets a lousy breakfast. Army cook simply look upon him and just slaps it on his plate and squirts all over him. And he look at the cook, and the cook says, so what? And the soldier, he goes to pieces.
I can't, what a rejection. I can't handle that.
So he goes to his sergeant and says, I can't fight today. I'm too sad. You know what that sergeant's going to say? Poor little you. But you know, that's how we are. It doesn't take a whole lot to set us off. And God wants us to go beyond that. That it doesn't matter what people do to us or what happened, we still say, this is a good day. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, Brother Bob doesn't have an airplane anymore, but he decided to have a little flying here this week. And so as he was flying down the stairs, clutching his cell phone, actually his wife's cell phone, you know, he had a hard landing. But here's a thing that stood out. Joe DiCarlo was around, and Joe immediately ran down, laid hands on him, and prayed for him. He didn't wait for Bob to begin to wail and say, oh, poor, you know. This is when you are automatic, you know, to pray in season, out of season. And I believe that this actually saved him from any further damage. He might be a little bit bruised, God is simply saying, you know, I'll let you have a little pain for a few days, you know, so next time you fly, get in an airplane. No doubt. Now, where did Joe DiCarlo learn that? Let me take you back maybe 6 months. We had a dinner here. And suddenly, something struck Anne, and she just felt like this on the floor. I happened to be just a few feet away. We did not know if that was a heart attack, a stroke, whatever it was. I mean, she just got cold. So I just went down, put my hand on it, rebuked it, prayed for her. And then she said, okay, get away, I'm going to get up. I know she was healed then. She got up, quit serving at the tables, ate her food. No, nothing more. This is how we should be, automatic. Respond with prayer and supplications. Let's go for the next point now. God is looking for a harvest. Turn to Luke chapter 13. There's Luke chapter 13. And we pick it up in verse number 6. Jesus spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbers it to the ground? And he answered and said to him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it or fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well. If not, then after you shall cut it down. God's holy angels are around us, trying to fertilize things. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us, trying for us to have fruit. God is looking for a harvest. Are we going to give him a harvest? Turn to Matthew 3 now. Matthew, the third chapter. People are always going to have problems. I will always have some kind of problems. But God is simply saying this, I want you to learn to live above your problems. I share with this congregation that about 3 or 4 years ago, I lost my ability to see with my left eye. I only have one good eye to read with. I can see you, but I cannot read with that eye, and I need to read. I pray to God, I'm better, I believe for healing, and I believe I'm going to be totally restored. Now, the devil comes around and says, well, you know, you one eye out, I'm going to take the other one. Fear. You've got to learn now to simply say, whatever ailments, problems we have right now, I'm going to march on. I'm going to have a good day. Regardless. Because in due season, I will reap if I faint not. In Matthew, the third chapter, we pick it up from verse number 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent you, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea, and all the region around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father, for I said to you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. John the Baptist said, bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. Work out your salvation. Bring out some fruits. This is a loving, giving congregation. Someone needed a bicycle here a few weeks ago. And it was mentioned. And the person simply took upon himself to say, I'll get a bike and I'll give it. That is fruit. And we have it quite a bit in this congregation. I've seen people in this congregation give large sum of money to other people. And simply, the people don't even know where the money came from. They said, well, I'm going to give that because they need it. We got to learn to receive and we got to learn to give. Fruit. Now turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And you pick it up in verse number 15. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. Now, when people see you, do they see fruit that says, I like to pick this? Or they go, yuck, I don't want to get close to you. The fruit is there if we are walking with the Lord. And then we read this. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. If you are a good person, and when I use that, I mean a person who is saved, we're not good in ourselves, but through the Holy Spirit, there will be some wonderful fruit on your tree. And you might not even have to advertise and say, you know, I want you to look at me, I'm a great guy. I really am loving, caring, you know, I really care for you. I'm a good person. Anyone have to advertise how good he is, he's a rotten tree. If you're good, you don't have to advertise it. It shows. Luke 6:43. That's the Gospel of Luke 6:43. For a good tree brings not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For a thorn men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather their grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bring forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, or the soul, his mouth speaks. Now, if you've got a foul mouth, you got a problem. And you cannot blame it and say, well, you know, I got a foul mouth because someone makes me so stinking mad. There's no justification. If you got a foul mouth, you're a bad tree. You need to repent. Jesus likened the earth to a vineyard whose owner expected to get the dividend from it. Matthew 22. That's Matthew, the 22nd chapter. If you pick it up in verse number 33. Matthew 22. And 33. Let me get to the right place. Matthew 22, 33. And that is, we got a problem there with that verse. It is not where I want to go. So let's just move on to the next place. Let's turn out to John 12, 23. John 12, 23. And this is the key I'm coming into now. A Christian must die to himself. What does it mean to die to self? It means that you're giving up the plans and the ambition for your life and choosing to surrender to God by saying, not by will, but yours. John 12, 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say to you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it. He that hates his life and his world shall keep it unto life eternal. Let me ask you this question now. If Jesus would have refused to go to the cross and said, I'm not going to die. He was sinless He could have lived on and on and on. He would not have died. There would have been no salvation for you and me. But Jesus had to die to be put in the ground and raised up on a third day, and out of this came fruit, you and I. We need to die to ourselves. Are you willing to say this? I'm not going to be offended anymore. I am going to die to myself. Pride has to go. Ambition has to go. Whatever God has for me, yes. But His will, not mine. In Matthew 10, Jesus spoke about it in a different way. Taking up your cross. That's Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 38. And we read this. And he that taketh not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall also lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Now, are you willing to take up your cross and say, God, not my will, but yours? This is what it will take to die for yourself. Look at Mark 8, the Gospel of Mark, the 8th chapter. Now, I have goals and plans and things I like to do, but God said we're not going there. This is where we're going. And I'm glad I obeyed him. Mark 8, 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and that the 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. When he turned about and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get you behind me, Satan, for you savest not the things to be of God, but the things that be of men. When he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. For what should he profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So 40 years ago, I gave my resignation of my job. And I walked into the engineer that was in charge of my department. And I said, Sir, I'm here to give my resignation. 2 weeks, whatever it was. And he says, Why are you quitting? I said, God has called me to the ministry. This guy was not a Mormon. This was in Salt Lake City. He looked at me and said, We like you. He says, I tell you what. If you change your mind, I give you a raise right now. And I'm going to help you to further your engineering skills and get your education. Because I was working to have my master's and licensed engineer. And I sat in an office. Very cordial, friendly guy, to be very nice to me. And the devil said, You don't know where you're going. You've never been to California. You're going to give up your job. What are you going to live on? Who's going to pay for this and that? I did not have my wife with me. It was just me and the Holy Spirit. And I looked at what I'm man and I said, Sir, I really appreciate that offer. It means a lot to me that you like me. But I have to go. God has called me. What would have happened at that moment if I would have thought about, you know, well, more money, this and that. I like my job. This church would not be here. Thousands of people would not be saved. I would be retired by now, having a nice pension and good stuff, you know, probably living someplace, you know, just shuffling around, doing nothing. But I had to make a choice that day. I was only 26. If I was going to follow God or not. And I want to ask you today, what should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in his exchange for his soul? We have to die to self. Several of you came from outside the city. God spoke to you to come here and to join this church. And it was an effort. It cost you. It was difficult. But you died to yourself. God will reward you for that. The message of die to self, take up the cross, is so important that it is found in all four Gospels. Look in Luke 9. That's the Gospel of Luke, the 9th chapter. Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What does it mean to deny yourself? You give up your anger. Give up your resentments. Give up the things that is eating your inside. And say, God, if I never amount to anything on this earth in people's eyes, I am serving you and I thank you and I praise you. I want to love you. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself will be cast away? Look what I wrote here in bold. A Christian who has died to self will not get offended, does not get riled up, and does not seek his own fortune, but is constantly looking for a way to please God and to do his will. Bearing fruit. Let's quickly move over this here now. Ephesians 5. That's Ephesians, the 5th chapter. If you pick it up in verse number 9. The struggle is over. You die to yourself now. You truly died to self. There'll be no effort in bearing fruit. The fruit will begin to grow. As the fruit is picked from you, more fruit will grow to replace what was taken. There will be an abundance of fruit. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Some of you have seen the fruit in me. I've been sitting down with you in counseling. Follow up. Put many hours into you. And I'm rejoicing when I see growth. What do I get out of it? There's no money in that. But you see, just to be able to give you a lift, to help you to get out of a ditch, to help you to grow, brings joy unspeakable. If you want to have joy, start serving other people. Start serving them. When you are in the will of God, you will be happy and content and won't even have to think about bearing fruit, because it will grow by itself. Look at Philippians here, chapter 1, verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, and to the glory and praise of God. Our deliverance teams spend hours with a person preparing them, hours in casting out demons and praying for them, and then hours in follow-up work. Those of you that have been through deliverance, you know what I'm talking about. Those counselors did that because they loved God first, and they had died to self, and they wanted to serve you. As a joyous Christian, you will radiate the power of the Holy Spirit. When you are asked to help someone to get involved in the project of the Lord, there will be no hesitation, just fruit flowing in abundance, like a conveyor belt. James chapter 3. That's James, the third chapter. If you pick it up in verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, I don't walk around in the morning and says, okay, now I'm going to press some fruit here tonight. I'm going to have some fruit today. If you have died to yourself, you just exist. And as you move on your job, you meet people, this and that, fruit will just be there. Automatically. It be a way of life. Let's end where we began. In Galatians chapter 5. Look at these beautiful verses. That's Galatians 5. 22. And I want you to ask yourself this. Do you have this? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you have love? Joy. Do you have joy? Peace. Do you have that? Long suffering. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there's no law. If you really want to know if you've died to yourself, take a piece of paper and list these fruits. And then ask somebody, do you see that in me? And if they don't see it in you, then begin to do what I talked about. You must die to yourself and say, God, I need to die to myself. You will not have to struggle to work hard to have fruit in your life. When you're moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, because there will be a constant flowing out of you. Welcome to living in the present and rejoicing in the future. Then look at the last page. This is Psalm 1, a great message. Choice. You make a choice. Blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. Choice. Number of years ago, several times, jobs came to Thomas Burns, building wineries, wine cellars. He could have used the work. He could have used the money. And he said, no, I don't build that stuff. There were many places that were ungodly. He would not do it. That's choice. What happens when you make a choice like that? We read now on. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth the fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind drives away. Experience. I believe in June we're going to have a big party in Yuba City. We're going to dedicate the Thomas Burns Plastics new headquarters. Experience. And then destiny. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Every day you and I have to make a choice. It will give us an experience, and it will bring us a destiny. What choices are you making? Remember now, it is not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. And have you made plans on how to finish your life, or are you just drifting? Do you have an ear to hear with? And so today, as we give the invitation, people say, well, you know, I don't want to go forward, I don't want to pray for this and that. Today, if you say, I need more fruit, I want to die more to myself, I want to be a little bit more loving, why not use the prayer time we're going to have right now to come and be prayed for? Let's stand and pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for these moments we had here this morning. And Father God, there are many different needs in this congregation. And Lord, people on different growth plateaus. But I pray, Father God, that today people want to press in. That they want to say, I am not satisfied where I'm at. I want more. I want more and more of Jesus. Let them come to the altars today. And if you are here and you are not a Christian, if you say, but I've never been born again, I never accepted Christ, today is the day of salvation. Come forward, talk to one of these men and women, and say, pray with me. I want to make sure that when I die, I go to heaven. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that you're going to do something greater today. And for those watching us, you pray where you are. If you need prayer help, call us, write us, and we will minister to you. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The altars are open. The elders and deaconesses are here. You come.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood, so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the final part in the series, stop living in the past, and was entitled Bearing Fruit. When you come out of the past, bearing fruit should be the sign that you are living in the present and looking toward the future. This fruit is not something you produce in your own power, but happens automatically when you walk with the Lord in faith and obedience, and this in turn gives birth to good works. Dying to self is a lifelong process that allows much fruit to manifest in your life. When you have truly died to self, the struggle is over and the fruit will begin to grow. And as the fruit is picked from you, more will grow to replace what was taken, and there will be an abundance of fruit. You will be happy and content in the will of God, and won't even think about bearing fruit because it will grow by itself. Welcome to living in the present and rejoicing in the future. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1236. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.